What would you say is your mission overall in this industry?
I mean, definitely women empowerment, making women feel that they can come to the table. You know, being, first of all, born and raised here in South Florida and being in the entertainment industry for so long, I still had so many men that just would not let me have a seat at the table. And it was pretty disgusting, to be honest with you. Like, I'd be like, yo, we all were doing the same thing. And while you guys are getting on the come up, you're not letting me. So that's really when I branched out and started doing stuff outside of South Florida. And then all of a sudden, all the people from South Florida would be like, oh, Christine. I'm like, I'm good. I'll be in Columbia. Call me later. So really just supporting women in the space, because I know how hard it is and how difficult it is to get to the next level, because people just don't want to let you rise up, you know?
Hey, what the name of this show?
I Talk Great.
I Talk Great.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell? You want to get your brand out there to the world? Well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you. I Talk Great, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here's what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. Y'all already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. I Talk Gray, where we talk about the gray areas of business, because it's never just black and white. I got a heavy hitter in the building, Christine Curran. How you doing today, queen?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing good. It's Manifesting Mondays, and I am having a killer day. So this is a great way to wrap it up. It's been a really, really awesome day.
Okay, Manifesting Mondays. Okay, I like that. Where you get that from?
I'm, you know, just always in that alignment zone, you know, always trying to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And today it just all came together so perfectly. So I'm feeling good.
Really? You got a story for us? You got something to tell us real quick? What you been manifesting lately?
A lot of things, man. A lot of things. Life has been crazy. You know, like we were talking about, it a lot of things get thrown at you left and right, a lot of curveballs, and you got to always find that gray area and come out on top. And just the whole everything since COVID has just been like a whirlwind. It's like you're walking through a hurricane 24/7 and just trying to like weather the storm, you know, not fight the storm, but you got to weather the storm. So I've been doing that.
Exactly. I like that. Weather the storm. Okay. So what would you say are some gray areas for you in your industry?
Well, I mean, my first business, right out of college, I've never worked for anybody. So I was an entrepreneur right in the entertainment industry from day one.
And really?
Yeah, okay, man.
Okay, let's go ahead and clap it up. She ain't never had a jobby job. Okay.
And so the gray area for me was I started a business where I made $1 million in cash in my 20s.
$1 million?
Come on, dog.
What? You made $1 million?
In my 20s, I've booked over 800 women for fashion shows, TV shows, music videos, whatever, you name it, in the entertainment industry. But my claim to fame was the Jello Shot Girls. And my gray area for that was everybody said I couldn't bring Jello Shots into the nightclub, but I hired an attorney. And we found a gray area where we were able to bring it in through a catering license and argue it was 51% food, because by the time we brought it in, the Jello shots were solidified. So that's how I got away with it for so many years. And it was just, everyone tried to figure out how I did it, but I wouldn't tell anyone my trade secret at the time. So now you're getting my inside information here.
Okay, getting the inside scoop. Wow, I like that. So how long were you in that line of work? With the Jello shots?
I had my company for 13 years, but I did the Jello shots probably 9-10 years.
Okay. So what made you want to start that, though?
I mean, I'm always I've been an entertainment guru. That's what I call myself, because somebody dubbed me that one day a long time ago. And I was that makes sense. It's what I do. I always find really cool ways to bring the life to the party. And, you know, I was a model, actress, TV host, interviewed hundreds of celebrities on the red carpets. I've thrown massive events with 450 people and celebrity judges. And I've done calendars. I mean, I've done everything in the entertainment business, seriously, you know, besides singing, because you don't want to hear me sing. But
only in the shower.
Only in the shower.
Okay. Wow. Okay. You've been doing your thing. But you know what? I did Google you. I did do my due diligence. But okay, so you did go to school for your marketing degree? You got your master's or your bachelor's?
No, so funny enough, I was that really smart, wild kid when mm-hmm. I was younger, and I skipped a grade. And so I graduated high school at 16 with full paid scholarships. And what? Was kind of like stuck on my own at that time. Like I really didn't have anywhere to go at mm-hmm. that moment. And so I ended up going to college, getting caught up with a guy, getting pregnant, losing my scholarships, going back to school, getting my AA in marketing and saying, you know what? I'm really smart, but I don't know what I want to do. So I was like, I want to just start my own business. And that's what I did. I was like, what am I going to go to school for? I have no idea. Like, yeah. I'm good at business. That's what I want to do. So I did.
Okay. Okay. So you just said a whole lot there.
Yeah.
You got caught up. But before that, so you said you didn't have anybody. Like, what happened? Like, how was your childhood? Like, kind of give us a little breakdown of that.
Oh, I mean, it's not that I had a bad childhood. I had a great childhood. I mm-hmm. think that everybody's families go through things at different times, and some mm-hmm. people are highly affected by it, and that's, you know, at different times of their life, and it just happened that that time in my life, you know, oh, Christine's good. She's smart. She's got this, right? And just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, people just fall off a little bit. They're having their own issues and whatever, and we just, you know, I just figured it out and took care of myself and made it happen, right? So I finished high school living with another family. Okay. And, you know, and then I got these full paid scholarships. But at 16, you can't even rent an apartment. So no, it's like,
you ain't got the credit yet.
Yeah. But you want to put me in school. And so it's like it was a catch 22. And mm-hmm. I think it really was hard not having that, like what I needed at that time, the guidance I needed and the help and the support. And so, you know, it's easy. You start working at a restaurant, you get caught up with the cook, you know.
Okay.
Next thing you know, I'm cooking a baby, you know.
Whatever. Okay. So you were a teenage mom?
17 and pregnant, and had her a month before I turned 18. She's 19 now. She's okay. My pride and joy. I love Aww. Her more than anything. She's a hip hop dancer. She's super dope.
Yeah, I saw y'all kind of like, sounded like y'all was listening to like Compa Azuka or something like
well,
that.
Yeah, we were at a Haitian church having a party with one of her dance friends. It was fun.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, I also saw y'all got like a matching mommy daughter tattoos.
Our little butterflies.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I like that. Go ahead, team mom.
Yeah.
Is your revenue stuck? If you're an entrepreneur and your revenue is stuck, you don't need to fix your products or services. You need new audiences to discover you more consistently. Podcast guesting is the ideal way to be discovered 24 hours a day by your ideal clients. And guess what? The more people that know you, the more people can flow you. Head over to podcastmasterypack.com and take advantage of your first or next podcast. Let's go.
All right. So you're a teen mom, right? Sorry, I know I said teen mom, my bad. How were you able to build up the courage to say, yo, I'm going back to school? Because I know you said you got kicked out with your scholarship, but then you went back. So how difficult was that?
I mean, I wasn't going to just let it go like that. So I was really upset because I went through the entire semester pregnant mm-hmm. and I didn't know how this was going to play out, right? So I got induced over the Thanksgiving break thinking I could have my baby go back and do my final exams, and it doesn't work like that. So I learned the hard way. So I missed my final exams and I lost my scholarships after I went the entire semester, which I think is just crap. So yeah, that was a hard blow. Like, you know, okay. So I was determined to go back just to get my degree because I know that I'm good enough to get my degree. And I did. I went back. I think I had a 3.8, graduated with my AA. And I'm like, you know, what am I going to do now? Like, really, I'm going to keep doing this, like dropping her off and running here, running, then working. And
yeah. Yeah.
It was a nutty life, you know?
Okay. Well, hey, at least you bounced back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So why didn't you think to say, okay, let me go get a job with this degree? I mean, you paid for it. So what made you just say, yo, F that, let me go straight to doing my own thing?
You know, I always like to find a way to solve a problem. And I was a model mm-hmm. and actress while I was going to college. So mm-hmm. Naturally, when I moved back to South Florida, I was in Jacksonville going to school. I moved back down here and was in that industry and just moving around, and people kept asking me, hey, do you have more girls? I need 5 more promo girls for this. I need a model for this. And so I was like, well, I'll book my friends, but I'm going to get paid. So I started my own company right then and there. And that's how
your own modeling agency,
Fort Lickerdale Entertainment, was born.
Okay. Fort Lickerdale. All right. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So So that wasn't just the Jell-O shot business. That was the Jell-O shots and models.
Yes. I booked over 800 models in 15 years.
Wow. Okay, so what kind of like fashion shows? Because I saw you were a model yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay, this girl doing everything.
Everything.
All right, so what kind of like fashion shows were you guys doing? Was it like Fort Lauderdale Fashion Week or?
No, I don't even know if that was around back then. I mean, this is
okay.
Dating me backwards here, but you know, 18 years ago. Everything. I don't even know. My resume is so crazy. I don't even keep a tab anymore. So
okay.
I mean, I've booked girls for music videos and movies and fashion shows, and I've thrown events and jello shots and bartending and private parties and whatever it is that, you know, they need a waitress, whatever, all the things. Mm. All the things.
Okay.
And it was all like single moms and college girls. I always put them first because I knew how hard it was. And the party girls came last. If I was like desperate, then the party girl got booked. But a lot of girls finished college working for me, and I pride myself in that. I had one girl that became a doctor. Actually, two girls that became a doctor working for me, and a lot of single moms and, you know. Okay,
so you was like, I wouldn't say madam, but you was like, you know. But, you know, you were like overseeing females that kind of went down the path you went.
Yeah, I just took it. You know, I was there to support, and I'm all about women empowerment. That's like my big thing. And I learned that from my own struggles, as well as all these women that I've seen and helped and heard. And, you know, I've had girls sleep on my couch, and I've picked girls up on the side of the road drunk and, you know, paid a girl's electric bill, whatever it was, you know, to just be there for people because I know what it's like when you need somebody.
Oh, you know what? I like that. That's the cap in you.
That's the Capricorn in me, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Team Cap.
Yay.
But I see I've been looking at your gram, right? It looks like you back outside.
Just a little bit.
You know, hold on. You be everywhere. So are you single? What's going on?
I am single. I am single.
She's like, I don't know. I ain't tell her nothing yet.
Yeah, no, I'm single.
Okay, so you back outside.
I'm not even dating right now.
Really?
No. Okay. I'm just taking a break. I'm taking a wellness. My best friend would call it a wellness. I'm taking a wellness right now.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that, because I see you in Medellin. I see you in New York, Utah. You doing the thing. Yeah. And in the gym, you're working out, you're staying fit.
Hey.
Okay. So do you think time heals all wounds?
I think it heals. I mean, if you allow it to, it's really just a lesson. You know, it's not what the universe is doing to you. It's what it's doing for you.
Okay.
And, you know, I think we talked about that because the craziest thing happened today, that I just closed this massive deal. And
congratulations.
And thank you. I mean, right before I came here, I got the call. Like, I'm like, wow, like a cloud nine. Like, I already had a really good day, but that was like the icing on the cake. And
it was
crazy because I had just moved back to Los Olas about a month ago, and my car wouldn't start. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is going on? And so I finally get it cranked on, and I go up to AutoZone, and I run into a friend of mine. And we haven't seen each other in years. And it was weird, and it was very like synergistic. And so he's like, what are you doing today? You want to go take a private jet? And I was like, yeah.
What? So, okay, she got some good friends.
I was like, let's go. So I run home, drive all the way to Palm Beach, get on this jet, realize they're trying to raise money. I start, you know, making a bunch of calls, and we go through this whole process for probably about 2 months, and, you know, they had a deadline, and I got the call today that we met that deadline, and that was me. So that $200 battery that I replaced, that's that, you know, it's not what it's doing to you, it's what it's doing for you. Sometimes the universe got to put you in the right place with the right people, and sometimes it feels like it's not a good thing, but it turns out to be a great thing if you let it unfold, you know?
Okay. No, you're 100% right about that. I tell people that too. Like, we may look at it as a chaotic moment, but not realizing it's just a door being opened for you for greater blessings, right? So you landed your deal. You said you raised money.
Well, I consulted on a deal, yes.
Okay, so how does that work, like raising money? Because, you know, we want to raise some money here. You know, High Talk Cray wants to raise money. Yeah. So how would a person go about doing that?
So it's been an interesting road because I've been trying to raise money for my company, right? Mm-hmm. And so my first company, I didn't need to, right? It was a killer company, cash cow. But now this company, the Dining Empire, which, you know, I started with the Dining Divas, and now we've evolved to Destination Divas, which you see me traveling all over for, and Dudes are coming, and all kinds of fun lifestyle and foodie shows. But trying to raise money for that company has been challenging and also a big learning lesson for me. And I've been able to acquire a lot of funding sources and channels because of that. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm doing that and learning the business and learning that whole side of the business of how to acquire the money, because it's interesting. There's a lot more to, a lot of layers on that onion.
Okay.
And so then because of that, I've realized, you know what, I need to help other people raise money because it's hard out there. And so that's what I've been doing is kind of introducing the right, understanding their, what they're looking for, what they need, and then finding the right channel for them and consulting them to the end. And, you know, it's pretty exciting to close my first one. So,
okay. So it's more so consulting for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have a Series 7, so I'm not raising money. I'm consulting and putting them down the right channels and connecting the right people. Okay. And yeah.
So what would you say is one of the most important components for a business to have so they're able to raise money?
Well, I mean, there's so many different, again, this is such a very vast and wild experience. It's really about believing in yourself, having all your pieces of the puzzle together, you know, and just finding the right people that align with you, because there's really no cookie cutter way to do it. And there's startup money, and then there's, you know, companies that are already established and what, you know, and there's just so many different, you have to really find the right channel, the right person. It's a puzzle and you got to put it together, and that is, you know, it's a lot of work. So finding people like me that have the resources, you know, for certain types of businesses is great, because we've already done the due diligence and the vetting and the, you know, so I would just say, just be real passionate about what it is that you're trying to do, and be real transparent with whoever you're trying to go down that road with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you over embellish or you're not being authentic about it, and when it gets down to that point where they're doing due diligence, they're going to look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you said this and that's not what it is, and that's going to turn them off and they're not going to want to do business with you.
Okay. Transparency is key.
Absolutely.
So I believe that at the end of the day, you know, I don't feel like giving that extra fluff is good for business. Do you take things personal in business, or is it just business for you?
I mean, I'm a woman. We take everything personal. No, okay. I mean, I've been through a lot, you know, 18 years of entertainment industry. That'll get some thick skin. Trust me, I got some thick skin. Yeah. You know, just rumors, gossip, people backstabbing you. I mean, the entertainment industry, everybody wants a piece of it, and not everybody gets to get in it to that level. And so you're going to have a lot of craziness. And so I don't take anything personally anymore, but sure. When I was younger, I got super offended, super angry, super hurt, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I saw another post where you said happiness is a choice, right? So what kind of activities are you doing to make sure, like, you're staying on that happy vibration?
I mean, I work out. I run. I run on the beach a lot. I run away from my problems.
Okay. No.
Okay. I'm like, psh, no. I love to run. That's my favorite thing to do. It's very stress relieving. I think a lot. I get a lot of clarity on whatever it is I'm working on when I run. So I go to the gym a lot. Love to pump, you know.
Okay. No, I'll be seeing the videos. Yeah. You be doing your thizzle.
I got a little muscle, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I saw one of your other videos, because you're – how did you get involved with the celebrity boxing?
Oh, yeah. Damon. What's up, Damon? So me and Damon, we go back like 12 years. And, you know, I booked promo girls for him with Fort Lickerdale Entertainment and Ring Girls. And then from there, it evolved to me being one of the promoters. And I actually booked all the press and the celebrities and all that kind of jazz. And then I actually ended up fighting one of the Mob Wife reality star.
What?
Yeah, cast members.
You were scrapping?
Dude. It was a gnarly fight. How'd I trained 10 weeks for that
10
fight.
10 weeks?
Yeah, with Billy Patton.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild.
So what was the regimen like? Like, how did you get prepared for the fight?
A lot of running and a lot of, you know, just working with him at the gym, you know, hitting the pads. Combos, learning the combos.
Okay.
All of it goes out the window once you're in the ring, but it's okay.
I'm pretty sure. Because, you know, you're not... Were you a fighter in school, or?
I was like the biggest nerd in school. Like, I was band captain. Okay.
Okay. Like, so yeah. You're so a good kid.
Now I'm like, So I'm like the opposite of what I was in school, but.
So what do you think drove you to want to do that though?
I'm always up for a challenge. And in the entertainment industry, you better be always reinventing the wheel. So if somebody asks me to do something crazy, I'm probably going to say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So who won?
So they called it a tie, but let's be honest, I totally kicked her ass.
Hey, you better know it. All right. So hold on. So those girls, because I saw you at the I forgot. Was it the Lamar Odom? I forgot who he was fighting.
Oh, oh my gosh.
I don't remember, but that's why.
Aaron. Come on, the Backstreet.
Real Backstreet Boys
brother, Aaron Carter. Aaron Carter.
Oh, okay. No.
That was hilarious. Did you? Oh, you didn't go to the fight though. The fight was up in New Jersey.
No, it was the one that I was at. It was downtown Miami.
Yeah. The fight was hilarious because Lamar Odom is like 6 or 7, 6. I don't even know what he is.
Yeah, he's tall as hell.
And then Aaron Carter's like little. And so it looks like David and Goliath. And you see Aaron swinging at him. And it's almost like he's holding his head. Like, why are you swinging? And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, man. It was. But, you know, he threw down, though. I got to tell you, Aaron really tried really hard.
You know, you got to give a man his props.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. So you're responsible for the girls who was holding the card?
So not that one. So I do different things for each one. It depends on how busy I am in my career and what Damon's doing. And, you know, so sometimes I'm the promoter. Sometimes I book all the press. Sometimes I book the celebrities. Sometimes, like the Black China fight, I was the ring announcer with Flavor Flav. You know, sometimes I'm fighting. You just never know what I'm going to do, you know?
Okay. All right. So she has a diversified portfolio. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer? And you got a story to tell, you want to get your brand out there to the world, well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you, I Talk Gray, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here what you do, go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. All right, so I see you started the Dining Divas, right?
Yes.
What, like, prompted you to start that?
Well, I was doing all the celebrity interviews for a long time, and it just, you know, it was fun. But then I'm like, why am I, like, studying all these people, rushing to get on the red carpet, fighting for their attention? And I'm like, you know, I'm already past, like, I got really good at it. Now it's time to do something better. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to build a $1 billion brand. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring the celebrities to me, and I'm going to get paid to eat and drink and travel the world. And that's what I did.
Okay.
We've done some cool stuff. I've had like DJ Irie on a yacht, and we had Brett from Hell's Kitchen cook for us and threw a big yacht party. I've had Captain Lee. He pulled us up on a yacht in Fort Lauderdale, and he ate with us. I've had tons of celebrities, influencers, you name it. We do all kinds of fun stuff on the show. It's very hip, modern, fresh. You know, food is sexy, and we need to show it that way, because it's gotten a little kind of the same players on the Food Network over and over and over again, you know?
Hold on. So you're not just like on social media, like YouTube, and you're actually on a network?
Yeah. So we have the Dining Divas is the restaurant show. It's kind of like Drive-In Diners and Dives, but high-end.
Yeah.
And it's really a women empowerment movement where we bring different diverse women from different backgrounds and ethnicities together over food, fun, and travel.
Mm-hmm.
So the restaurant show is on WeTV, which is Women's Entertainment Network. And now we're filming the Destination Divas, which is our travel series for Travel Channel. So we got a lot going on.
Hold on. WeTV is Women Entertainment TV? Really?
Network. Yep.
Why not? I ain't never know that.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. So how do you get it to the network?
I've got people that do all that for me. Okay. I do. You know, I know my role. They know their role.
Okay. Well, you know, that's very important. Mm-hmm. Like knowing roles. So even with the divas, right? Define what a diva is to you.
A diva is a woman who knows what she wants and goes after it. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a misinformation on what diva is. I mean, a diva started off as a singer. Let's be honest. That's what a diva is. But I think it's transformed into, some people have a very negative connotation of it. And I think it's more of just a very powerhouse woman that's very confident in herself.
Okay. All right. So I see she definitely, you know, has her major definition for this. All right. You know, the Beyonce, what'd she say? A diva is a diva version of a hustler or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give her that one for sure. That was a good line.
Yeah. You know what? You're definitely a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you making sure everybody understands their role in your show as divas?
I mean, that's always a fun one, right? Like making sure everyone feels good, but also making sure you're getting what you need out of it. So, you know, the difference is from my first business, I was the boss and I had a bunch of young girls working for me. Now I'm a leader where I'm collaborating. And so I always say bosses dictate and leaders collaborate. So, and I coined that one just so you know.
Okay.
That's mine. No. Yeah. No, but I always say that because I think it's important that people feel valued and respected. I'm actually the youngest one in my company. and everybody is older than me, but I, you know, okay. I'm the one that put it all together. So even more so, being a good leader is very important when you're younger than everybody, and making sure that you're showing value and making everyone feel good and respected, and that their voice matters. And so we have a great group of women and men with the Dining Dudes coming, and everybody's like, you know, really, they're all leaders in their own industries. So when we all come together, it's really fun and it's exciting because we are all very creative and we, you know, mastermind and throw around really great ideas and we just get it done.
Okay. Yeah. Get it done.
Get it done.
All right. So you said leaders, right? What do you think you got your best experience to like shape you as a leader?
I mean, it started when I was young because I was the youngest band captain at Deerfield Beach High School, you know.
Really? So, you went to Deerfield Beach High School?
Yeah. Buck Pride.
Okay. Okay.
So actually with my girl Jessica from South Promo.
South Promo?
We
okay.
gotta shout her out.
Yeah, you know, South Promo in the building. Okay. So you it's in the blood then.
Yeah, so I and I also was, you know, like a leader in soccer and a leader. I just did everything. I did all the sports, all the clubs, and learned leadership at a really young age. And so it just kind of resonated with me, you know? It kind of built into me.
Okay. So do you think as a leader, do you have to be likable?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a likability to it. I mean, nobody wants to jump on someone's bandwagon that they don't like, right? So you need people to respect you and like you. You also need to be able to stand your ground and not waver because you want people to like you, because that's not a good leader either.
Yeah, no, facts. Because you know, I hear it says, like, if everybody likes you, that means either you're not being real. You know what I mean? So, because I feel like, especially in the entertainment business, everybody ain't gonna like you.
Absolutely.
You know, you're gonna get somebody mad. And if you trying to be all, because I don't know, I'm still having a hard time at that. You know what I'm saying? I just gotta speak how I feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Be authentic.
Yes.
Shout out to my haters.
No, facts. I was just telling my guy, you know, when you know you got them haters, you know you on that escalator. You
know what I mean? Like that one. Yeah, okay. You know?
Because we're going to have haters in this industry.
Always.
People dealing with their own internal battles.
Always. Yeah, that's the biggest thing is people live in their own head 95% of the time. It's not even what it is in real life. And so it's funny. The first time I had someone gossip about me, they wrote something about me on a gossip website when I was in my early 20s. And it was really stupid, actually. But then I was being sarcastic and I went on there and was like, oh, you know, saying something stupid. And then it just escalated. And all of a sudden, there's all these people talking shit about me. And you can tell none of them have ever met me. You can tell, like, just what they're saying, they've never met me. And it's all anonymous. So I cried like a baby. Like, I was like, this hurt, you know. But then after I finished crying about it, I was like, all these people are wasting their time talking about me on a Friday night on this gossip website, then I must be doing something right, you know?
Big facts.
And that's, so I kind of just bucked it up and picked my head up, and now I don't get fazed by any of that. It's just, you know, it's part of the industry. It's part of the job.
Yeah, no facts. I shoot on Facebook, the gram. I done heard all kind of, you wearing your daughter jeans and all different kind of stuff. You look like, I don't know, what's the name of one?
What? You're wearing your daughter's jeans?
Yeah, because I guess my jeans was too tight.
You got them skinny jeans. Yeah, that's in style.
Yeah, I thought so too. You know, but then I've been hearing, you know, you look like Ja Rule, this one, Ludacris. I don't see it.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but one of them said, you look like Ja Rule with like Down syndrome or something. I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's a new one. You know, I'll take Ja Rule money, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw another post that you had, right? You said, being realistic is the most commonly traveled path to mediocrity.
Yes.
Right? So what made you, like, say that?
That actually came from a movie. Will Smith said it. And what was the movie? With the little son, and they were homeless.
Oh
yeah, and man, stuck with me so much.
Pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. I love it because it's true. Like, you know, everyone's always they're scared to be outside the box, and that's you're gonna just be a mediocre everyday Joe if you don't, you know, kind of jump in and be fearless and do whatever makes you happy, right?
Yeah. No facts. Okay, so as I see you always moving around, right, and you got to do what makes you happy, and I definitely see you doing that. You're into crypto.
Yeah, so.
You know, I said I Googled you.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing a lot. Okay, so like, when did you get introduced to crypto?
So my business partner, Jared Knowles, for one of our entertainment events called the Influential Model Awards, it's like an It's like an award show for influencers to really honor them for what they've done and their influence in social media. Because a lot of times people used to be like, oh, they're just a social media, whatever. But that's actually, it's a full-time job. And some of these girls have made major waves and made major money doing it. So we wanted to honor them. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And when COVID hit, everybody jumped into crypto. In the entertainment world, they jumped into crypto or PPE. I did both. And my partner, Jared Knowles, he taught me crypto during that time. So I bought some tokens and I was learning. And I was like, Jared, what if we just do our own crypto for our influential model awards? And he was like, ding, ding, ding. He's like, Eureka, that's amazing. Yeah. So we created the Women Empowerment Token. And then that kind of started to evolve into like, how can we help more women? How do we bring more women into crypto and teach them financial independence? How do we help charities that support women around the world? How do we... So now there's all these branches and arms that have come out of it. And it's an exciting time. We're working on an accelerator right now for women entrepreneurs with Richard Lima from Leaf Capital Partners in New York. And I actually have a really big call tomorrow that I'm manifesting Monday that goes really well in my favor. And I'm looking forward to getting this project to the end goal. So a lot of projects I tell people, cause they get so impatient. Sometimes things like they're moving and then it just kind of stalls for a little bit and then something else moves. And then you have to kind of roll with the path of least resistance, right? Wherever you're making your money and things are flowing, right? So, you know, we've had our like little stops here with this project, but everything's about the timing and finding the right alignment and the right people. And I feel like tomorrow is going to be that call that's going to really take what we've built and what we've all that hard work we've put in over the last 3 or 4 years on this project is going to take it to the next level. So manifest with me, baby.
Yes,
let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to go ahead and get some manifestation going on in here. Manifesting that money. Okay. So how are you able to use the token for like a social cause?
Well, so all of that, the utility and stuff, we're working on all. It's really a big ecosystem from the Influential Model Awards, which has over 100 million followers between all the influencers and getting that global reach. And then having the accelerator where we're helping women entrepreneurs and then having the token as a utility for both the event and the accelerator. There's a lot of moving parts. We've got a big team. And they're all working on putting that together and making it all make sense, you know?
Okay, she's making it happen. I saw you also got a partnership with Vivica Fox.
Yeah, she's one of our representatives for the WIMP token. She's a sweetheart. We've done some great things with her.
Tell us about that. How do you make that happen?
Well, again,
give us the deets.
My partner on this particular project, Jared, he has a relationship with her from his film his film award show. He had the Widescreen Film Festival for 5 years. And so she was one of the honorees for that. And then it just, the relationship evolved and, you know, we told her what we were doing and she thought it was amazing and great and she wanted to be part of it, so.
Okay, yo, that is so amazing.
Is your revenue stuck? If you're an entrepreneur and your revenue is stuck, you don't need to fix your products or services. You need new audiences to discover you more consistently. Podcast guesting is the ideal way to be discovered 24 hours a day by your ideal clients. And guess what? The more people that know you, the more people can flow you. Head over to podcastmasterypack.com and take advantage of your first or next podcast. Let's go.
Can you give us like some sauce on how you're able to like keep and maintain your relationships?
Oh, well, always finding out what people need, like asking first and then, you know, and then also giving. So, you know, what do you need right now? How can I bring value to you? What are you looking for currently? Let me see what I have in my Rolodex. Let me see how I can, you know, help you. And then saying, this is what I need. And just being transparent on what you're looking for too. Because if you don't ask, you know, you won't get fed, right? Closed mouth doesn't get fed.
Facts.
So you have to ask people, say, do you have anybody who might do this? Do you know anybody who might do this? And you'll be surprised how many people have something. And people are so weird about asking. I don't understand it. Like they get so uncomfortable. Yeah. Like you're doing, no, if it's mutually beneficial and they make money with you on it, then what is, it does that, what the world revolves around, you know, relationships. So 6 degrees of separation, right?
No, no. Yeah. You're 100% right about that. Yeah. I've been working on that, trying to build those relationships, you know, but I've been working on some of my trust issues, you know, just being in entertainment, man, is like, you know, that Hollywood talk. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
A lot of lessons learned. I mean, yeah, you know, getting papers great, NDAs are great, contracts are great in place, you know, to start that relationship. It doesn't always work out that way that you can have that stuff. And then sometimes it's more like they showing them that you're valuable enough not to screw you over because then there's a future business together. So it's just, you know, building that, you know, and again, if you bring something to them, a lot of times they're more willing to bring something back to you. So even if it's a small thing, like an introduction or something, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Reciprocity is very important. Okay. Okay. I also saw that you had a billboard in Times Square.
Vivica Fox was on that one. That was for the WIMP token. We did that when we first launched. It was super exciting. I mean, we were in Entrepreneur Magazine. We flew over to Dubai and did an interview over there.
Dubai.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty cool. We were one of the first crypto projects ever printed in the first edition of Entrepreneur Magazine for cryptocurrency.
Wow. So. We got to clap that up for that. All right. You're making major moves out here. But why do you think, like, the crypto space is such a, like, a male-dominated space?
I mean, it's the wild, wild west still. And that's why, like, even with the WIMP token, I, you know, really taking my time to weather the storm, right? We were talking about, because it is a storm. It's a hurricane 24/7. Every day there's some crazy news. You know, this coin is getting investigated. This one's, you know, it was a Ponzi scheme. Like, there's just so much happening. And so if you really want to be, you know, we're all doxxed, right? Like, we tell people we're the founders. This is who I am. You can find me. You can look me up. You can contact me, right? Mm-hmm. But there's still, like, right now, even when I try to use, you can't use WIMP on Google or Apple Play for an app to buy. You can't buy the $4.99 app fee, right, with any cryptocurrency yet. So we're still way ahead of the game. So that's why we want to bring women in. We want to teach them. But there's no rush right now. Like, you know, there's people making a crap load of money on, like, quick buys and sells. And that's that's gambling. OK, you're gambling. Mm. If you really want to be in this space, I think it's a longevity play. And it's really, like, finding the right people and doing it the right way. And sometimes just holding on a project that you trust the people who founded it and you see what they're doing. And you know that the time's coming, because all of a sudden one of these tokens like ours, we get all the right players in alignment, and then we're ready to shoot off again, and it's to the moon, you know? And you just gotta have to grab some tokens and hold on a lot of projects.
Gotta hold on these.
And just pay attention. Stay in the group, stay in the Telegram, see what's happening, you know, check in once in a while. And
okay, facts. All right, so what would you say are some good formulas to, like, build community?
Oh, well, community building is, I mean, really finding a good group of people that, like, your core group that really believe in the project and, like, love it and are passionate about it. And then, you know, getting them to bring their ideas and values to the table. Cause when you have, like, that five or 10 people, then that starts to spread out, and that's how you start to really build that community.
Okay. No, I know community is real big, especially in the podcasting space.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to work on that recently.
So, in the foodie space, the crypto space, all the spaces.
whole entire space. Also, you know, like I said, I was doing my due diligence, right? Tell us about the experience when you hosted for Playboy TV.
Oh man, that's like a gazillion years ago. That was like one of my first, like, things I ever did. Yeah, like, I was a baby when I did that. I was like 23 maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I got a great gig. I got a lot of cool.
How'd you get introduced to that?
Gosh, I don't even remember. I applied somewhere on one of the million websites that I was applying for gigs all the time, every day. I got up and I did the same thing, applied for a bunch of gigs. And then, you know, I got some really cool jobs. I recently posted my La-Di-Da lingerie billboard and benches and the magazine. And I was the cover girl for that. And that was a big gig, especially right after having a baby, to be work out so hard and to be able to be the cover of a lingerie, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of bikini lingerie, all that fun, sexy stuff in my early 20s. And I loved it. It made me feel good. And I had a great time, and it made me want to work out more, and it made me want to, you know, take care of myself more. And I enjoyed it.
Okay. Snapback game crazy. All right. So how did you feel about, did you see the whole thing with Keke Palmer, with Usher?
No, what happened?
No, you didn't. You didn't hear about that. So she went to an Usher concert. You know, she had the whole cheeks out. You know, and Usher was singing to her, but everybody was getting on her and giving her a lot of backlash. And, you know, her boyfriend commented and said, "You're a mom." And everybody said, you know, I looked at it because I know a lot of women, after they have their, you know, their kids and stuff like that, they go through, like, postpartum depression. You know, so I felt like she was just trying to
be sexy.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but, like, to each its own. I mean, I don't judge anybody. And honestly, I stay on my side of the street. I'm not worried about what anyone else is doing. I don't follow celebrities like that. I don't read the gossip column. I mean, when I used to do celebrity interviews, I would spend a couple hours looking them up, right? But now I'm so, I stay so around what my purpose is, and I stay so around my what I'm building, mm-hmm. because my time and my energy are valuable, and I'm not putting it into anybody else's bullshit.
No. You know?
But right. I mean, sometimes I scroll and I happen to run into like maybe a gossip thing or I hear a thing or two, but yeah. I try not to make that like a priority. So I probably miss a whole lot of things that are happening in this world, but.
No, but that's a good thing though. Yeah. Some of the things I just feel like, you know, they put out there. Cause you know, now she has a song with Usher and I feel like, oh, that was just
PR stunt.
Yeah.
PR stunt.
Like, man, come on.
We know how this works.
Yeah. I'm like, man, they're probably still together. You know what I'm saying? Just like how Ciara always trying to promote being single, but I'm like, yo, you home with your man. So I don't want to end. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it could just be a whole front. What would you say is your mission overall in this industry?
I mean, definitely women empowerment, making women feel that they can come to the table. You know, being, first of all, born and raised here in South Florida and being in the entertainment industry for so long,
yeah.
I still had so many men that just would not let me have a seat at the table. And it was pretty disgusting, to be honest with you. Like, I'd be like, wow. Yo, we all were doing the same thing. And while you guys are getting on the come up, you're not letting me. So that's really when I branched out and started doing stuff outside of South Florida. And then all of a sudden, all the people from South Florida would be like, oh, Christine. I'm like, I'm good. I'll be in Columbia. Call me later.
Yeah.
So really just supporting women in the space, because I know how hard it is and how difficult it is to get to the next level, because people just don't want to let you rise up, you know. And then my biggest passion is feeding the homeless.
Okay.
So me and my mom and my daughter have done that quite a few times. And I actually partnered with Action Against Hunger for the Dining Empire, because I feel like it's great to eat all this wonderful food and do all these great things. But if I'm not giving back, what's my purpose? So that's a big passion of mine. So they're our partner for that. So
okay, that's dope. No, but you know what? I have heard that down here is like you have to go outside your city and get busy. You know, and then come back in and then you might get a different level of respect.
Whole different. It's a must. But, you know, I outgrew the city. I outgrew South Florida. So it was time for me to go outside. And now I'm getting everywhere I go. It's like they throw out the red carpet for us. Like it's wild, you know. So
yeah, I'm seeing. You know?
So then I come back and now everybody's like, oh, snap, you know, but I think, you know, when people, what's happening? I think when people are growing, you know, they get stuck with that version of you they remember from 15 years ago. Mm. And I can sort of kind of see that, because they just don't want to like look at you or view you differently. Yeah. And then when you're at a new version of you, new people are seeing you as that version. And that's fine, you know, and that's why you go outside and you come back.
Yeah. Okay. No, facts. So do you think it was more so the modeling thing that people kind of had like a bad kind of taste with you?
I don't care what it was. They that's not my problem. Their opinion of me is not my problem. No matter what you think, no matter how you feel, I'm always on the elevation and I'm in entertainment. If I want to go and play a drug addict on a movie and then I want to go be a beauty queen on a TV series, I can do that, because in the entertainment industry, you can do everything. You can be anything. You can be sexy one day. You can be professional one day. There's no box. You can't put me in a box. You know what I'm saying? And so it's funny because like people who are jumping in this industry, like, oh my God, I don't think you should have shared that picture of you from 10 years ago. I'm like, why? That's my fucking career. And I'm proud of it. That's you, because you're not from this industry. You don't even know what you're talking about. Sit down, please. Take a seat.
Take a seat. No, facts. But I think social media makes it a lot worse. Cause like, you know, my son, he posted a picture and I said, if nobody liked it, what would you do? He's like, take it down. Because now this generation, they feel like if they're not getting a like, then it's like doing something internal wise. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I definitely agree with you. Like how you be traveling and moving around and overseas and getting international, you definitely need that for the psyche.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you know, kudos to your son for even putting it out there. Cause I mean, there's a lot of kids that don't even feel comfortable even being on social media. My daughter was one. She just, it was so overwhelming for her, you know, and she's a great dancer. I was like, girl, if you just put some of your clips up, and she's danced with celebrity stuff. And she's like, I don't want to be on social media like that. Like, she's like, it gives me anxiety. I don't like it. And you know, so I get it. These kids, like, we didn't grow up with that. So for me, it was exciting.
I grew up with that. I grew up in New York. So growing up in New York, like, Queens?
I mean, like, with social media, we didn't grow had MySpace, that was, like, I think it started when we were in high school.
Yeah, right?
And it wasn't the same as what it is now.
No, facts.
And we weren't living on it.
Yeah.
You had to go on your computer. You couldn't do it from your phone like that. It wasn't
internet at the time.
It was totally, we had beepers. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was a whole nother world back then. So I can see how it could be really hard on kids. Like for me, it was exciting when it started because I'm like, marketing, right? My degree's in marketing. I'm like, marketing, yeah. Kids nowadays, it's like pressure and it's stress and it's, you know.
You said I have a big nose. You might. You know, because Gary Vee spoke about that, right? I'm not going to lie. I felt like bullying was kind of somewhat necessary because how they do it now. Oh yeah. You came in eighth place.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you trash. You need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, we're not about to gas you up and make you feel like you did a good job. No, you got to do it over.
You wouldn't try as hard if you just always are getting applauded for everything. Like how are you going to learn and how are you going to elevate if you're always feeling like, oh, that was good enough. That was good enough. No, it's not. You got to go out and do better and do better and do better and do better every
time. Exactly.
I agree with you on that.
No 10th place. So I saw another post that you put, right, where you said everyone at the bottom is competing and everyone at the top is collaborating.
Yes.
So why do you think that is, though?
Because it's the truth. I mean, all the people making all the big moves, they know, they understand the power of masterminding, right? Napoleon Hill talks about it. And, you know, that's the written principles. I mean, you need to work together to elevate. You know, nobody can do anything by themselves. You have to have collaboration. And so collaboration is key. And it's the people at the bottom that aren't elevating because all they want to do is worry about what that person's doing. Why don't you call that person and do a collaboration?
Yes. Like, let's go ahead and collab it up again.
Like, come on now.
Okay.
So I'm big on mindset. We're actually doing a cruise, a Napoleon Hill Think and Grow Rich cruise. Mm. One of our divas, Adora Evans, I adore her. She's adorable.
Okay.
She's really big into the Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich institutes and foundations, and she's been with them for 22 years. She actually just got a great promotion, so proud of her.
All right.
And so we're going to be doing, we did one in St. Lucia last year, so people can actually travel with the divas, be part of the show, mastermind with other entrepreneurs. A lot of business was done last time. It was very powerful. A lot of crying, a lot of laughing, dancing. We had the best time. So we're doing another one this year on the Travel Channel. Super excited in January. And we're partnering with Melissa Waggy from Epic Talks in Miami. She's got a great, great group of people down there in Miami. She's always bringing the baddest people in the space to talk about crypto or real estate or social media or whatever. So we're bringing all these powerful women together and like-minded women together to throw this really awesome event. So love to have some. You should come on that cruise.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Get a little speedos. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know how to swim. No, most definitely. I think we should definitely do a collab.
Sorry, that was me. Oh. I knocked something over.
I was like, bad. Like, we're in a safe place here. So this was so lovely. I'm so glad you came on.
Yeah,
you know
thank
what I mean?
You.
It was definitely great. Great to finally have you in the space, but I'm definitely real for real about that collab. You know, we could definitely always collab on something, and I got an opportunity for you too. We could talk about off air for sure.
Awesome.
But let everybody know where they can find you at.
Well, you can just Google me like you did and find me everywhere right now. Christine Curran, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, and ChristineCurran.com if you want to see some of the stuff I've done. DiningEmpire.com if you want to check out some of the shows, and contact me.
Okay, most definitely. Hey, man, y'all already know what it is. If you're feeling the content, you liking it, make sure you hit that subscribe button. You already know it's your boy, Mr. Williams. I Talk Great. We out of here.